Matthew chapter 2, as we continue the gift this morning, let me read you a story, and this kind of goes along, I guess, with the Christmas story this morning, and so let me just read this for you as we go along, starting in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it was stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Remember that. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. If you were to go to Bethlehem today and you were to visit the Church of the Nativity, which is where some people believe that it's kind of built on the birthplace of Christ there, what you would see is kind of neat. I was actually looking at some pictures of that this week as I was studying, and the door that goes into the Church of Nativity is only just about 4 feet tall. It may actually be just a little bit shorter than that. And it's kind of funny, I was looking at some pictures of these big, tall people that would stand by this door. But for an average individual, for an average adult person, it's impossible to enter this building. Now, whether or not we're just going on history and what, you know, but it is impossible to enter this building without bowing. It's impossible. You have to actually stoop down and bow down to walk into a place where people still to this day worship Jesus. And so, you know, think about this, because when the wise men followed the star which led them to Jesus, what did they do? We talk about wise men, okay? These men, you know, they weren't just a common person. They had knowledge, you know, far above and beyond what probably most common people did. But they, when they found Jesus and when they came into the presence of Jesus, they fell down, they bowed down, and they worshiped him. And this was a sign of humility. And this was very significant, because usually very wise people, or people that were esteemed to be really knowledgeable or wise or way up here, listen, people bowed to them. But in that moment, in their wisdom, in all that this wisdom that they had, they were humbled by Christ and they bowed before him to worship the Christ, the Messiah. The word humble means not arrogant or prideful, meek in behavior and attitude, and placing others before yourself. Now, humility is something that my wife, and I've shared this before, I have prayed for humility probably since I gave my life back to Christ back in 1997. It has been the one thing that I pray for every day. God, keep me humble. Because I know this, nothing that I have, nothing that I do, nothing that I obtain, no part of my ministry, no part of, I mean, not even my family, I don't have anything that's not given to me by God. He has blessed me. And when I get, and we get, you know, I just don't want to ever get to this place where this is all about me, or I have done this, or I have done that, and it's because of me that I've done this, and it's because of me, you know, forget all that. I have always prayed. And you know what? There have been times, because I'm honest and I do pray for it, that there have been times where I've kind of gotten that out of whack, and, you know, maybe the head starts to blow up just a little bit. And God, and I believe this, if you pray for it, he'll give you, he'll show you, he'll do something to remind you of humility. But that's a tough thing. We talk about, you know, God desires for all of us to experience and know wisdom that comes from him, but to do that means humbling ourselves before God. To truly gain wisdom that comes from God, it requires humility. And I'll show you that in God's word here in just a second. I want to look at this gift for a second, because if we think about, of course, we're talking about the gifts, and that last week, you know, we talked about the gift of hope that was given to us, and of course, this week, of course, we're talking about the gift of wisdom. And so I want you to really think about this, because I'm really big on following examples that have been set before us. God was an amazing example of humility. God was so humbled when he sent Jesus to us, and I believe this, and you know why? Because I'm a daddy. Now, I'm not placing myself near, but I'm a daddy. I can't even imagine what it would be like for me to give the life of my child for the sake of somebody else. You talk about placing the needs of other people in front of, you know, I just want you to think about this. And God wasn't like, now you read God's word, God was never arrogant knowing who Jesus was. God never forced him on anybody. He was never like, this is the man, this is the son, you should bow down. I mean, there was never any of this arrogance that came along with this. It was complete and utter humility. He wasn't prideful. He knew he was sending his son to die. How would you feel about that? I thought about that. I think about that a lot, but I really thought about it again this week. Look at Jesus. He knew what his place was. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew the power and the majesty that came with that particular position. He understood that. Was he prideful? Did he ever place himself first? Never. In fact, if you look in Matthew 20:28, Jesus says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. He humbled himself when he really didn't need to. Jesus understood wisdom because he understood humility. He came down from heaven, and even though he was king, even though that he was the Son of God, even though he should have been treated with the utmost respect and dignity, he was willing to be treated like the worst of criminals. He was willing to be mocked and beaten and crucified for something that he did not do. And he was willing to think of others instead of himself. And as we look at the gift of wisdom today, I want us to really begin to think about this word humility. To really begin to think about this word, and honestly, this is really, really, really hard. And it's hard for all of us. Now, ladies, you sit back and say, yeah, man struggles with pride. You bet we struggle with pride. We have this manly thing that's just kind of built inside of us, and we struggle with pride. We struggle with things, thinking that we got to be the one to take care of stuff, and we can fix everything, and all of these other things. But ladies, you struggle with pride too. You just show it differently. It's just different. This is something that we all have to battle with, because we can get so caught up on our lives that we lose the ability to see past the mirror. I don't know why, God, the last 3 or 4 weeks I've been thinking about reflections. That must mean God's going to give me a series on reflections here before too long. When my scriptures that I've read and the things, my time when I've talked with God, and just really, sometimes we get so caught up on ourselves that we can't see past the person in the mirror. And it just makes it hard. I have my own needs, my own issues, my own problems. And I want you to know right now, I'm not saying don't focus on those. I know that those are real. I have issues in my life. And I don't think we're not supposed to. You got to take care of the issues. We got to be, we got to be dedicated in trying to fix things or solve things and go through issues and deal with certain things in life. So by no means am I saying that's not something that we should do. But God's gift of wisdom can only truly be received when we begin to lose our pride and that complete inner focus, and we understand that there's more to life than just our own. There's more to life than just our own. And when we can humble ourselves as a servant, then we can begin living out Acts 20:35, which is our scripture. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Proverbs 11:2. I'll read this. This was up on the video a minute ago. I'll read it in a little bit different version right here. And it says this: when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. When pride comes, there comes disgrace. But with the humble, or with humility, there is wisdom. This morning, I want to look at two specific types of wisdom that are found in the Bible. We'll go there in just a minute in the book of James. And it's just two simple types. It's earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Wisdom that comes from, you know, the world. And then wisdom that only comes from heaven. Think about the Magi from earlier. What made them wise? Or really go past that. Let's bring it to today's time. What makes anybody wise? When you think of somebody being wise, you think of somebody being smart. I mean, we automatically... I'm thinking out loud here just a little bit, but, you know, we think about, you know, people that have, you know, all this education or multiple degrees. You know, they've got to be a pretty wise person. You know, somebody that holds a doctorate or multiple doctorates or all these different things. You know, you see the engineers are wise people. You know, they think of things that, you know, and do things that just, you know, I can't even fathom and begin to. My goodness, my fifth grader's math right now is wiser than me. And many parents are saying amen. You know, I mean, really, it's tough, it's hard, you know, but you know, wisdom, you know, we want people to be smart, you know, but this is what we think of when we think of wise. If a person holds a certain job, then they must be wise. Doctors must be wise. They spend half their life in school. Well, they spend a third of their life in school, a third of their life working to pay it back, and then a third of their life to survive, you know. But they've got to be smart because they've got that doctor. With all of these areas, okay, all of them require knowledge and wisdom. And I want you to say right now, none of this is wrong. I'm not up here saying that it's wrong, you know, trying to be more educated, degrees and better jobs, better pay. None of that's wrong. Why wouldn't we want to do all that we could to kind of, you know, to better ourselves and better our family and better our homes and better our lives? It's not necessarily wrong as long as it's kept in the proper perspective. I want to go to James chapter 3 and really quickly just touch on a couple of things as we look at earthly wisdom really quickly. In verse 14, it says this: but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, basically if you are more concerned about yourself and you getting advanced in what you do and what you accomplish and how can I do this and how can I do that with the wrong motivation, do not boast about it and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. Actually says unspiritual and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Earthly wisdom becomes about me. Earthly wisdom becomes about you. It becomes about the I or the me. Earthly wisdom is all about what I've done, what I've accomplished, what I can do, and it's all done with the wrong attitude. It's all done with the wrong motivation and the wrong ambition. Based on pride, it's based on arrogance, it's based on that selfish ambition, as the Bible says. Earthly wisdom keeps us from seeing or even looking for opportunities to impact the lives of other people. It puts blinders on. It internalizes all this life. And then that reflection that I just talked about, that becomes all that we see. It's like we carry around the mirror with us all the time and we can't see past it. Earthly wisdom cancels out our desire for others to be blessed. Now, I really want you to grab a hold of the concept. I'm not saying that education and all these other things is wrong. I'm saying the wrong ambition any worldly wisdom and knowledge is wrong. There is a difference, and I'll show it to you here in just a second. It causes us to focus on what we don't have. And listen, when we do that, then we begin to focus on what others do have, and then we'll do whatever it takes to obtain it, regardless of who we hurt, regardless of who we walk over, regardless of the impact, negative impact it has on other people's lives. The Bible goes as far to say that it's unspiritual and demonic. That's pretty bold. But isn't this what the world wants us to do? I mean, think about this. Stay with me. Isn't this what Satan wants us to do? I mean, really, for ourselves, think about this. Satan tricks us here. Because this is one of the gimmicks and schemes he uses to destroy us, and let me explain. Once again, no way do I believe any of that is wrong, but stay with me, okay? Because, you know, how is it wrong to be smarter or to have a better job or to make more money or have a nicer house or a nicer car or have that 200-inch flat-screen TV on your wall or you know, want the newest boat and the truck and to pull it with? I used to serve with a pastor, and not from here, so in another town, and I would go with him. We would go to Bass Pro, and he'd walk by a boat, and he said, "I'm claiming that for my ministry." Why? He said, "Well, the Bible talks about fishers of men, you know." And he said, "Why wouldn't God want to give that to me?" And I used to think, "Dude, you just what?" But then I got to thinking about it. If God wants to bless me with a boat, I'm not going to give it back to him. But if my motivation, and if I begin to neglect God's word, and I begin to neglect, it's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong about me wanting a boat, wishing for a boat, dreaming for a boat. But if that motivates me to become internalized, and that causes me to look more at that idolistic piece of property than it does me searching after opportunities to share Jesus or searching after opportunities to be a blessing to somebody else, then it's wrong. It's wrong. I'm just going to be bold to tell you that it's wrong. So that's kind of where I'm going. Okay, there's nothing wrong with having these dreams and desires, and Satan knows it. Now stay with me. But here's the deal. Satan will take those feelings and magnify them. He'll twist them and distort them and get us to believing that since those feelings are really okay to have, then it's okay to do whatever it takes to achieve them. And even though that's not necessarily bad in itself either, here's the deal. Satan wants us to get so focused on ourselves, on our own desires, on our own wants, that we stop seeing the needs of others. And that's when pride, it just slips in and it does things. And listen, there's always problems that are associated with pride. The other scripture, you know, says pride comes before a what? A fall. When we allow that internalism to get us stuck, okay, and we forget that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I want to look at the other side of this wisdom thing for just a second. We talked about earthly. Let's talk about heavenly for just a second. And look at verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Heavenly wisdom is pure. It is clean. It is fresh. It has no ill motives whatsoever. It is focused on what God is focused on. It is not necessarily, listen, heavenly wisdom doesn't mean that you can't be focused on your own issues. It just means that your motive behind that is pure. We've not stretched out. We've not dove out into the pride thing. I'm really concerned about things because maybe I'm, you know, concerned about also with my family. You know, the motive is completely pure. It causes no, you know, torn feelings or rifts in the process because it's peace-loving. It's peace-loving. Can I just say this? I'm not saying that every decision is going to make everybody happy. I know this very, you know, very personally as a pastor. Sometimes, you know, you do things or you preach things or you make decisions and it just doesn't. People are like, "What are you doing?" And it causes these rifts and different things. But all of that aside, sometimes, you know, think about this. If we are making decisions based on God and God's will, yeah, there's going to be times that people, you know, it may cause a little bit of rift because somebody thinks differently or somebody believes something a little bit differently, and those particular things are okay. But listen, if you are blazing a trail of corruption and just bad stuff and bad feelings, and if it's just following you, then I would ask somebody to turn around and look in the mirror because the problem is probably us or me or you starting. Because we get so focused and internalized on ourselves, and there's nothing peaceful about heaven, you know, or there's nothing peaceful about earthly wisdom or pride. Heavenly wisdom is considerate and submissive. There's no need to be forceful with it because you're working to fulfill God's desire and not your own. It's not just your way or the highway. It's not just my way or the highway. It's not just what I want. It causes us to think about God's will and the needs of others. Bible says it's full of mercy and good fruits, laying down the pride of life, that you aren't better than others and others aren't better than you, and the results don't show themselves as unspiritual and demonic, but rather compassionate and full of Jesus. Also says it's impartial and sincere. Pride will cause us to pick and choose. I will help this person, but not that person. I'm going to meddle for a second. Pride will cause us to pick and choose who we think is worthy of the gift of Christ. And that is wrong. And you know what happens? Christians base that on money, personal possessions, cars, vehicles, boats. Base it on whether some people uphold the law or some people don't. Poor choices, bad choices. And can I just, once again, I'm meddling and I won't for very long. You hear me say this all the time. I don't care who you are. I don't care who anybody is. I don't care what they've done. If they've done something wrong, I promise you they'll have to deal with the consequences of doing it. But everyone deserves to know Jesus. Everybody does. You look at this book and you look at the examples of the people that Jesus hung out with. I mean, come on. And pride will cause us to pick and choose. Now, that by no means am I standing up here saying be okay with what somebody's done or be okay with somebody's attitude. You don't have to forget. Listen, you don't have to be okay with any of that stuff. But sharing Jesus is not a pick and choose thing. He came for everyone, impartial and sincere. This person deserves it, but that person doesn't. And there's nothing fake about heavenly wisdom. Come on, this is not for show. It's real love, real compassion, real desire to impact people's lives with the blessings that we've been given. Basically, earthly wisdom leads us to live for ourselves. Heavenly wisdom leads us to live for God and others. Pretty bold, yep. But to truly live a life like that, and it says it's better to give than to receive, we have to learn this and apply it to our life. So how do we do this? James 1:5. Let me back up in the chapter really quick. Really simple verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. If any of you lacks wisdom, now we're talking heavenly wisdom. If any of you lacks that, ask God, who gives generously to all, everybody say all, without finding fault. All. Without finding fault, and it will be given to you. All heavenly wisdom comes from God. It is not something that we can achieve on our own. Remember King Herod back in the story that we started, okay? And he called, remember who he asked, who he called upon to ask where Jesus was going to be born? He called upon the chief priests and the teachers. He called upon the wisest people that he thought, okay, he thought they were the wisest people there. And he called upon them. They had studied, they had memorized all this stuff, what the prophets have said about Jesus and where he was going to be born. And they were the smartest ones that Herod knew. But what did they do with that information? Because if we look at history and you continue on about these same people that he asked, these wise people that were full of earthly wisdom, they didn't go with the Magi to meet Jesus. They didn't care. They didn't humble themselves and bow down to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They did not use this wisdom for the purpose of helping others. It was all internalized. It was all about me. Look at me, how they dressed, how they acted, how they talked, how they gave. Everything was about them. They had got sucked into this pride thing. And listen, they knew it. And that's another scary thing. Listen, can I just say something again? I say this sometimes too. This is a great book full of great stuff and great information. But if all we do is read it and keep it, there's a lot of knowledgeable and wise things that are said in here. But this is meant to be given. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given it in the first place. And when we read this and we put this into our life, I preached this a couple months ago, then it must be applied. Then it must be lived out. Then it must be gone and shared. They chose to be selfish and prideful and seek after their own envious ways. They chose to ignore the Savior of the world, and they chose to ignore the people that he came for. And what they didn't really realize was that he had come for them too. They were just so focused on the reflection in the mirror that they couldn't see it. So the gift of wisdom begins with humility. But remember, it is better to give than to receive. That's the whole full circle of this series. Love receiving God's wisdom. Love receiving that humility that comes from God. But it is better to give than to receive. So how do you give this away? I want to go back to James, and I'm actually going to back up to verse 13. And it says this, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." Leave that up there for just a second. Let them show it by their good life, how you live. Okay? And I'm not, when we're talking about good life, I'm talking about living, you know, for Christ, being that example with your life, not necessarily just what is spoken. And by the deeds done, there is action involved in performing a deed. That means we actually have to do something. We have to do something with this. Deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Who is truly wise? The gift of wisdom requires action, thinking of others and then sharing with them the greatest of all gifts, Jesus. And you know, that's a humbling thing to do. Can I just say that? It's humbling. Any of you, and you can sit back and think, and just think, remember, maybe there's been a time in your life where you've actually got to share Jesus, you know, verbally with somebody. That's a very humbling thing. I can remember walking door to door in communities and knocking on doors, not really knowing what was going to be on the other side meeting me for the purpose of sharing Jesus. That is very humbling. Very humbling. When you're met with somebody that has a need and you actually are placed in that opportunity by God, and he is just like he's chosen you to be there, and you were obedient and you went and done this and you fulfilled what he's asked you to do, and you do, and that is humbling. Because it's not about you, it becomes about God and others. Just like this Project 125 thing. Impacting lives with the message of Christ should be humbling. To think that God looks at us and wants me to invest and impact somebody's life for him. Worrying about our gain, but the gain of others in Christ. No selfish ambitions or envy, but all compassion and love. Taking our eyes off ourselves and opening to them and to those around us. Is that hard? You bet it's hard. You bet it's hard. It takes effort. It takes persistence sometimes. I've talked about my mama's pictures for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and she's here this morning. You know, the latest in God's gifts to her was the drops off the icicle. It is now one of my all-time favorites. And I'm not just saying this because my mom is here. She catches them because she's looking for them. Most people would never stand to think about the awesomeness of a drop of water coming off an icicle. But because somebody was willing to open their eyes and look at something that maybe most of us would never even stop to look at, but it got shared and we were blessed. I've seen stories this past week of people that have seen opportunities that maybe nobody would see. Shoveling a driveway or playing games with some elderly people, pushing some snow off a car. And in our busyness, you know, Christina talked about that earlier. Sometimes things like snow and ice cause us to stop and refocus and to look for things and to keep our, listen, this should be an everyday thing. But as long as what we're seeing is us in the wrong way, we'll never see it. Never be a part of it. It's hard, but it can be done. The only way to do it, and I'll share this with you just simply this morning, is complete surrender. To see things through the eyes of Jesus, which it means we have to completely surrender our life to Him. Completely. You have to give Him your eyes. You have to give Him your heart. You have to give Him your thoughts. You have to, I mean, everything. Complete. All of it. Your life, your marriage, your kids, your family, your finances, your job, everything. Holding nothing back. But see, sometimes, you know, we're pretty good at doing most of it, but we'll hang on to this part or we'll hang on to that. It's got to be all of it. But that begins with humbling yourself before God. And then living in humility in your marriage, living in that humility in your job, in your family, in your finances. And if we truly believe in God the way that we say we do, then we have to acknowledge the fact that all this stuff we have, all the blessings that we have, come from Him. We have received it from Him. And according to Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive.